Man, thank you, Art, and thank you, Danny, for that update. It's wonderful. Keep your Bibles open, if you would, to Psalm 37 as we study God's Word this morning. You know, over the summer, we had an unofficial member of the church, a mascot, if you will, that had been joining us. And some of you may not have even noticed her. We have a picture of her here up on the screen. This mother killdeer had been living out in the gravel in our parking lot nesting her eggs. She was there the entire summer. And last week I went out, as I usually did every day, to go and see if she was still there. And much to my sadness, but a bit to my joy, her and her eggs, they were gone. Now, there's speculation as to what may have happened to this mother killdeer and her eggs. Maybe a predator got a hold of the eggs, and perhaps the eggs were not viable and the mother just left. But me being the eternal optimist that I am, with no evidence to the contrary, other than some speculation, I'm going to believe, in the vein of what I taught you a few weeks ago from 1 Corinthians 13:7, I'm going to believe all things and I'm going to hope all things. And I'm going to believe that those chicks were born. But that last part is not so much the point. Here's the point. The patient endurance of that mother killdeer. That creature of God endured wind and heat and some of the most powerful enduring thunderstorms that I've ever experienced. And yet, the God-given instinct of that creature was to remain in her place upon those eggs until the timing was right. I thought to myself as I was preparing for this morning, do I have that same type of resolve? That same type of patience? Am I going to stay firmly planted as a husband in front of my wife when storms come? Am I going to stay firmly planted as a father over my children, shielding them from the worst? Am I going to stay firmly planted as your pastor when storms come? Only if I realize, just like that mother killdeer, that something within me that God has given allows me to do that. The power of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit that instinctively tells me to endure, to produce fruit that remains. The fruit of the Spirit of patience. As we come to continue in our series, Fruit That Remains, and we look at the attributes of the Spirit of God that He confers to us: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Today we come to a psalm of King David. This psalm is written in an acrostic style. The psalmist would take each letter of the Hebrew alphabet and would assign a stanza to it, but ultimately, this type of psalm was used to point to one single central idea over and over again. At the time that this was written, according to Psalm 37, verse 25, David is now advanced in years. Near the end of his life, we don't know, but he's definitely old. He writes from the trajectory of aged wisdom, from a life lived observing the work of God in his life. And the thrust of this psalm really is three elements. This is the central teaching point. The wicked prosper for a time, don't envy their prosperity, trust in God for eternal prosperity. And out of this central theme that David gives his audience, it's rooted in the passage that we have this morning in Psalm 39, verses 7 through 9. It's the example that we have from that mother killdeer, waiting with patience on God's timing. God's timing is always the right timing. But as we start, we have to define what exactly we're talking about when we talk about the fruit of the Spirit of patience. Patience is the supernatural ability to wait on the work of God. At the beginning of our passage for this morning, David gives a command. He says, "Be still." The verb there carries with it not just the idea of being physically still, but an inner stillness in our being. The word could rightly even be translated, "Be silent." Remember, David is writing to his contemporaries, and he is writing out of his experience of Israel's history. And throughout Israel's history, what is the common theme that they see over and over again? They see God working, but yet the wicked prospering, which really extends into a broader idea that things in the world are out of alignment with the will of God. It seems like God isn't working. The prosperity of the wicked in this passage is analogous to all of the things that happen in a fallen, sinful world when we would question God's timing and purpose. But for the audience that David had, here was what they knew. 400 plus years of Israelites who saw the wickedness of God, of Egypt prosper on the backs of their people in slavery. During the period of the judges, although Israel's wickedness played a part in this, they see the nations that were enemies of God flourishing. Even in David's life and in his experience, as he waited for the throne of Israel to be conferred to him, he had to wait under the prospering, unfaithful leadership of Saul. And David refused, even though he had at least two chances, to murder Saul when he knew that Saul was bent on murdering him. He waited. He experienced this with his own son, Absalom, refusing to lay a hand on his son, even though his son was prospering, steeped in wickedness. And in all of this, what he had learned now as a wise man, advanced in years, is what he presents to his contemporaries. No matter how much life in this world is out of alignment with God's will, no matter how much the wicked seem to prosper, even at your expense, be silent. Be silent, but look at the first half of Psalm 37, verse 7. He says, "Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him." This is the definition of the fruit of the spirit of patience, silence and waiting in the presence of the Lord. Notice what David is doing here. Why is he saying to be still and be silent? Because of what the Lord God is going to do, because God is a God of justice. While things are out of alignment with his will, God is working toward justice, setting things aright. He says to be still and wait patiently for the Lord, because we don't have the ability to mete out justice the way that he does in his holiness, and we are unaware of the timing that he has set forth to mediate his justice. David is affirming both the knowledge of God in all circumstances facing his children, and he is also disabusing us of the notion that God is inactive. God is going to, in fact, do something. David affirms this in the case of the prospering wicked of his time. He says in Psalm 37, verse 9, at the very end, he says, "For the evildoer shall be cut off." David is reminding the children of God that there is a sovereign God who is at work in the circumstances that we face in the world. Things are out of alignment with his will, but God is reliable enough that we do not have to attempt to do his job for him. God is a God of justice, and we are to wait patiently as he works out his plan of justice and redemption and salvation from beginning to end. On the evening of July the 13th, we had a thunderstorm of epic proportions. I mean, lightning in the sky like I have never seen in my life. Thunder so powerful that car alarms are going off in neighborhoods. Power was going out in some places. And torrential rains that were beating down so much that I considered building an ark, but I didn't. And all I could think about that night was that mother killed deer. Would she leave? Would she stay? Was it worth it for her to keep those eggs alive? Would she panic? And would she try to hatch the eggs prematurely and get them out of there so that they would never have to experience that ever again? No. I came to the office the next day, and there she was in the exact same spot with her eggs under her, patiently enduring that storm in the most fierce of circumstances. Why? Because that is what God designed her to do. Instinctively, patiently, enduring. This is the fruit of the Spirit of patience that God places within us. It isn't there prior to our relationship with Jesus Christ, but when we come to know Jesus Christ, He implants within us the supernatural ability to wait and to be still and to see what He is going to do. Does this mean that we sit idly by and do nothing? Absolutely not. In the waiting, we are to reflect the goodness of God. If you look further back into Psalm 37, verses 3 through 6, he says this: trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and befriend faithfulness. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust in him, and he will act. He will bring forth your righteousness as the light and your justice as the noonday. Do good, David says. Anglican pastor Charles Simeon, in his treatment of this psalm in Psalm 37, verse 3, he says this. He says, it should be established as a principle in our hearts that duty is ours and events are God's. Our duty is not to sit idly by in the world. It is to do good, to reflect the goodness of God while we are waiting for His justice to reign in the events that He is fully aware of. David affirms this, supporting text that God is at work. He says He will act. He can be trusted. Justice will come. And our role is to be still, but to trust Him and do good. This is the role of the church in the world. Paul understood the principle very clearly. Paul found himself in the same circumstances as David, where he sees the persecution of the church, and he writes this in Galatians chapter 6, verse 10. So then, as we have opportunity, let us do good to everyone, and especially to those who are of the household of faith. Paul is saying the same thing in that passage as David says in Psalm 37. While Paul doesn't directly reference the persecution of the church in that passage, it was definitely there, but yet he says, do good to everyone. Everyone? What about those who persecute you? Everyone. What about those who prosper wickedly, King David? Everyone. What about those who hurt me and do me harm? Friends, do I need to say it again? Say it with me. Everyone. Paul wrote this verse to the church that even questioned his worthiness to even lead them. They questioned him as a pastor. Why can we do good to everyone? Why does Paul and David both affirm the same thing? How can we do good while we are being still and waiting patiently for the Lord? Because of the Holy Spirit dwelling within us. Patience and goodness, they are both the result of the Spirit that dwells within you. Fruit of the Spirit that He produces in you as you submit to Him. But friends, we are prone to deny the Holy Spirit working within us. And if we walk in the flesh, we are prone to envy. We are prone to seek justice ourselves. We are prone to try to become spiritual vigilantes. Here's the problem with being a spiritual vigilante and allowing impatience with God's justice to creep into our lives. Impatience aligns us with evil. Look at Psalm 37, verses 8 and 9. He says, refrain from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not yourself, it tends only to evil. For the evildoer shall be cut off. Anger is always the product of impatience. No one is ever happily impatient. But look at what David is saying. Your anger and your wrath, he says in the text, tends to evil. And before we play the righteous indignation card and make a beeline to Jesus turning over the tables, let's be honest, 99% of the time, our anger is not that. We are like petulant children stomping around, not getting our way. By saying anger and wrath only lead to evil, and then that evildoers shall be cut off, what is David saying? you've put yourself on the wrong side of justice. Look at the passage logically. Anger and wrath, they tend only to evil. The evildoer will be cut off. Therefore, by responding in anger and wrath, and instead of silence and goodness and patience, you are making yourself an evildoer. And what happens to evildoers according to the text? They are cut off. Now, as a genuine follower of Jesus Christ, we are never fully cut off from God. But in our sin, when we seek to take justice into our own hands in anger and in wrath, God must create a temporary distance between us and Him because of His holiness until we repent of our sins. In other words, we experience temporarily what those who are cut off eternally experience, distance from God. David understood this because it almost happened to him. He wrote this in Psalm 73, verse 2. But as for me, my feet had almost stumbled and my steps had nearly slipped. Friends, you and I are not very good at mitigating justice. If we were, God would have told us to do it. The hardest thing to do, which is why it requires the Holy Spirit, is to look at evil happening right before you, even to you, and to sit in the silence and the goodness of God and say, I will not join your evil with you. Author Gene Edwards, in his book, A Tale of Three Kings, he talks about King David's patient endurance while he was waiting for Saul to not be king, and in his relationship with Absalom. And in speaking of Saul, he talks about the instances in which Saul would throw spears at David to try to kill him. And Edwards notes that the difference between Saul and David was David refused to throw spears back. He wrote this: you can easily tell when someone has been hit by a spear. He turns a deep shade of bitter. David never got hit. Gradually, he learned a very well-kept secret. One, never learn anything about the fashionable, easily mastered art of throwing spears. Two, stay out of the company of all spear throwers. And three, keep your mouth tightly closed. In this way, spears will never touch you or ever pierce your heart. Coming back to our psalm, this is another principle at work here that we can't miss. It is the key to understanding the fruit of the spirit of patience. We must remember God's patience with us. Remember, friends, we too were once the wicked who were cut off from God. Look again at Psalm 37, verse 9. David says, for evildoers shall be cut off, but those who wait for the Lord shall inherit the land. Friends, there was a point in time in your life, in my life, where we were cut off. We were not set to inherit the land, but God in His patience worked the plan of salvation for humankind, which includes me and you. He didn't do it through anger to save you. Not through wrath did He save you, but through the goodness and patience of patience that He has, a goodness and patience in a Savior, Jesus Christ. The prophet Isaiah, in foreshadowing this, wrote this in Isaiah 53, verse 7. Listen to the patience that's here. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. Like a lamb that is led to the slaughter, and like a sheep that before his shearers is silent, so he did not open his mouth. Friends, is there anything that reflects the goodness and the patience of God more than the Son of God going silently to death so that you and I, as evildoers, can inherit the promise in Psalm 37, verse 9? Was it delayed too long? Was it too quick? No, not according to Paul. Paul said in Romans 5, 6, that at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. At the right time, in God's perfect timing, Christ died for the ungodly. Like that mother killdeer, Jesus Christ endured the storm of the cross to cover you, to protect you, to save you from sin. He did that knowing the perfect timing of his Father. On the cross, God had you in mind. He moved you from being cut off to be an adopted son or daughter, and he did so with patience. A patience that he implants in us as a fruit of the Spirit that dwells in us to know that we can trust him and his timing for justice in all circumstances. Friends, here's the bottom line. God's timing is always the right timing. As we close our time, I want to give you three applications that we see from this psalm. First is to share your inheritance. Look at Psalm 37, verse 21. The wicked borrows but does not pay back, but the righteous is generous and gives. What do you have to give, friends? Your inheritance. Remember, you were once what this passage describes, an evil doer. While God has not given you the rod of his justice or the pocket watch of his timing, what he has given you is the ability to be a part of the salvation story of the wicked, moving them from cut off to heirs. If you trust in the Lord and do good, what is the most good thing you can do? Share the gospel of truth. Second is empathize with the wicked. Psalm 37, verse 23 and 24. The steps of a man are established by the Lord when he delights in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be cast headlong, for the Lord upholds his hand. David is affirming something very important here. And it has to do with patience with the wicked. Even in your new life in Jesus Christ, David affirms that you will fall. And when you fall, it looks exactly like those evildoers. So empathize with them. Empathize where they are, living in sin, because we often like to visit there. And lastly, when it's time to speak, only speak God's justice. Verse 30. The mouth of the righteous utters wisdom, and his tongue speaks justice. Friends, there will be a time when you must speak. And you'll have to speak on behalf of God in the face of injustice. I believe that this is part of the being silent that he starts with as we hear from God through his word and as he speaks to us in prayer. I believe that's part of it. I believe it's what James, the brother of Jesus, affirms in James 1:19 when he admonishes Christians to be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. I'm going to invite the worship team and Pastor Verlin to come on up, and in a moment we're going to partake in the Lord's Supper together. And there's no better way to reflect the fruit of the Spirit of patience than celebrating Holy Communion together. Jesus is the host of the table, and he gives to his children a remembrance and a participation with him, but also consider the patience that this table embodies. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 11:26, he said, "For as often as you eat this bread and you drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." Well, friends, the Lord Jesus Christ has not come yet. It is a time set by God that only God knows. It's in his timing, and it's always the right timing. When we take the bread and when we take the cup, we proclaim the Lord's death with anticipation and with patience and with joy until he returns. His death for us was at the right time. God patiently working. It satisfies the justice of God and brought redemption for us by the Holy Spirit so that we can do the same thing and reflect the fruit of the Spirit of patience. Fruit that remains. Let's pray. Father, we come before you today and recognize that we are bent naturally towards evil doing. We are bent naturally towards impatience, being spiritual vigilantes, to speak quick and hear second. God, disabuse that in us, in our hearts. God, many of us are experiencing things right now where we say the evil are prospering. Why? Father, give us the ability to be still, to be silent before you, and know that you are at work. We trust you, God, when we can't trust ourselves. And we trust that you put in us the thing that we do not have by the power of your Spirit, the ability to reflect the patience that you reflect through thousands and thousands and thousands of years of history, that there was a point in time that you patiently waited to save me, to rescue those in this room that are called by your name. You waited patiently until the right time to put your Son on a cross in order to die for our sins, that we may share in the goodness of your Spirit. Father, help us to see that and know that, and to know that your timing is always the right timing. In Jesus' name, amen.